Yeah, right. Okay, first up tonight is John, and he's going to talk to us about his experience with the Fitbit craze.
Oh, do I speak through this one?
Yes.
What's wrong with this one?
Oh, you can have that instead. Okay.
I'll have that one, so I don't need to hold it. It's fantastic. Yes. This is not meant to be too serious. It's supposed to be light-hearted, so... Yes. Microphone closer to me. Oh, that's no problem. Okay. Well, my story starts about the middle of last year, when we invited a couple of friends to for a meal or something like that. I can't remember the circumstances really. And then afterwards, I daren't name them because it's being recorded, you know, and they would kill me if they knew, but all of a sudden the lady jumps up, walks around, goes outside and comes back. I thought, what's all that about? It turns out that an instruction buzzed on her wrist to move. And so that was my introduction to the Fitbit, sometimes known as an activity tracker or something like that. And I thought, that's a bit strange because, you know, if you call it a Fitbit, you think, that's for kind of people that are trying to get fit. But the couple that we invited, their idea of fitness was going for a walk, would be just going around to the shops, going in and out of a shop very slowly. The lady has arthritis, and the blokes had a few near-death experiences, one of which was a major pulmonary embolism, and they both had these Fitbits. So I thought, that's an interesting idea. So anyway, you know what happens round about Christmas time? You think, I need to take myself in hand. You know, we've all done this, haven't we? And then, so you take yourself in hand by January, and then 2 weeks later, you're back to square one, aren't you? So I thought, it'd be a good idea if I got one of these Fitbit things. And so saved up enough nectar points, asked the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Maureen, my wife, who thought it was probably a good idea. I hope I'm not going on too long. But so I got this Fitbit thing. And right, so there we go. Yeah, when this thing vibrates, you're supposed to take 250 steps. And it vibrates every hour. Well, actually, I didn't set my Fitbit like that. I decided, I'll do it properly. I'll go running, you see. Now, I'm not really a runner. I used to be a little bit of a runner, but not much. But I was really surprised that this Fitbit thing was telling me that the pace at which I was running was about a mile every 17 or 18 minutes. So that really disappointed me. I thought, I can walk faster than that. And that's consistent. So the other day, Maureen said, we'll find somewhere flat to test out. So we went round this reservoir, which is about like 2 miles long. And my running pace had come down from about 17, 18 minutes to about 17 or 18 minutes. So I wasn't really going any faster at all. So what am I doing? And furthermore, it tells you what your heart rate's doing. And it was going at maximum. So... maximum heart rate. I thought, blimmin' heck, I really am unfit, aren't I? And so that's it. The other thing this does, it takes over your life. The Fitbit, if I take the straps off, it's only the size of a postage stamp, you know, and it weighs 14 grams. And it tells you some frightening things, like how well you've slept at night, for instance. And so... Yeah, I don't sleep too badly, apart from last night, of course. I don't know. We'll not go into that. But I generally get an hour of deep sleep, 4 hours of light sleep. But worst of all, I get 1 to 2.5 hours of REM. That's rapid eye movement when you dream. And I thought, well, for goodness sake, I hope it's not recording the actual dreams. Because in my dreams, there are things that I don't want even God to know. So there we go. The other frightening thing is, it actually, there's a thing called auto-detect exercise. So it auto-detects when you're walking, when you're running, cycling, doing weights, you know, so it kind of knows what you're doing. It's even more frightening. But it can be fooled. I was washing the car to come here. I wanted a nice shiny car. I don't want people to know that I have a dirty car, do I? So I was shining the car, washed it, polished it. Look at my time. Yes, not too bad. And blow me, it counted it as paces. It thought I was walking. So I thought, oh, that's a good idea. So if you want to fool the thing, you just polish the car and it thinks you've been for a nice long walk. The other frightening thing about it is that I haven't worked this one out yet, but you might have heard of Apple Money. I don't know. But Apple Money is something that you can get your iPad or whatever and you wave it at the till thing and out comes your money. And I thought, well, that's very interesting that Apple, you can do that on this. And I thought, that's very interesting because when you look at Apple, you look at their symbol, the Apple symbol. It's an apple with a bite out of it. And the mythology, of course, a myth or whatever. We don't know what fruit it was in the garden, but, you know, people think it could have been an apple. And so it makes you think whether Apple are kind of cahoots with Satan. Oh. I'm only half... iPad. I'm only half joking. Now, that's all I want to say. Is that me 10 minutes? How long have I got?
You've got about another four.
Have I? Well, that's brilliant, because most people go on, don't they? So goodness knows what this thing's kind of... look, has anybody got any questions about these things? 129 quid. You know, it's not bad, is it? You know, to do all that. I'm in silence. I think it's very interesting. You know, I can go for a run, and it will actually, if I've got my phone with me, it will track my route and tell me exactly where I've been. I can beam it to the computer, and it tells me on a screen the actual route, what my heart rate was doing at the time, whether I was going uphill or downhill, all sorts of things about it. Yeah, but I seen our dimensions clicking in, you see, and
also means you can go with your eyes closed.
Well, actually, when I went round the reservoir and I put it on the computer, it had me running through the had me running through the reservoir. Yeah, it sort of kind of misprinted it on what, darling? I've converted. I'm in transition. I am converting my fat into muscle. It's being transferred into muscle, which weighs heavier. Have you not seen it? Oh. Get a magnifying glass. Oh, that's another thing I've got. I bought this like scales, but it doesn't just tell you your weight. It tells you everything about your body. It cost 120 quid, like this cost 100. Paying a lot of money to know things about me that other people already know.
Council.
Well, perhaps she's dead. CPR. CPR. Yes. What? Oh, yeah, darling. About the muscle, you need your magnifying glass again. To. Oh yes, it's there. Right. It tells you how much belly fat you've got compared to total body fat as well. So amazing, isn't it? What? 20? This doesn't, no. But the expensive scales that we bought does. Tells me how fat I am. Hello? Yes, please. If you've got a compulsive obsessive disorder, yes, I recommend it. Yes.
This is quite an admission. I was part of a sex study, which is through King's College London, looking at potential dementia. So I play computer games at times, and they want to say how good and bad I am. Through that, another research program wants me to have something like this linked to my smartphone. Mm-hmm.
Moods.
Said, yeah.
Like
how much I sleep, what my mood's like the next day, and things like that.
I see.
And therefore, they've put it all together over 2 years. And,
right, well, the frightening thing is there's one laser that comes out of the bottom that shines into your skin. Presumably, now there's another two. One must be a receiver, the other two must be waiting for a function. And there is a rumour, actually, that Apple are going to put another function on, which is similar to the pulse meter things that, you know, when you're dying and you go in the ambulance. No? And they put, or if you see these casualty programmes, they put, like, something on your finger and it measures the redness of your blood cells and all, you know, is there enough oxygen in your system? Now, it could be one of these. So, you know, one of these could be lit up. I've finished.
Thank you very much, John. Thanks very much, John. We've all learnt a lot from that. Not sure if we'll be rushing out to buy one, though. Next up is Kim, and she's going to talk to us about something very unusual. Gorilla kite flying. Okay. All yours.
Well, I'll explain in a minute. Gorilla kite flying, strange term, I suppose, but lots of people fly kites, but usually go to the beach or a headland or somewhere where there's loads of space. But I got into kite flying and I thought, well, why not just drive around? I live in Essex and it's fields and hedgerows and trees and bramble hedges and power lines. Why not go and find somewhere where you can fly a kite? So I drive around and suddenly I see somewhere that this looks likely. Put me flag up out the window of the car, and if there's enough blowing it, I'll give it a try. So I started out by finding a kite in the skip one time, and one day it was really breezy on the top of this hill, and I thought, well, oh, really, a kite in the car. So I got it out, and it was like so breezy that it dived down into the ground and constantly picking it up, straightening it out, put it up again. And the man came along and he said, do you see those clouds over there? And it was really grey and the wind was getting up and this huge dark cloud came. And I'm thinking, this is not wise, standing on the top of a hill with a storm coming. So I thought, well, I'll get in the car and I'll drive down the road and sort out a tail out of a carrier bag and stick it on the back of the thing. And the rain chucked down and the car rocked about. And I got out of the car, and when I turned round, there was this beautiful double rainbow. And so I went back and flew the kite, and it was a success. So that's what got me hooked. So people used to give me kites, and I get them from charity shops and things like that. So I've sussed a few good places round about where I can fly kites. So I'll get known, because obviously it's a bit unusual. People come by and they say, oh, you're flying a kite. And you think, you've just driven down the road. Surely you could see there was something in the sky. And I'm standing there. The chap said to me, I thought you were measuring something. Because I'm standing holding a string, staring at the sky. So I don't know quite what he had in mind. So anyway, I got different types of kites, and people say to me, why don't you get the two-line type? Because there's two lines and there's four-line kites, but quite honestly, the single-line kite is a real challenge, and I've had so much fun with them. I bought myself one that's a large delta-shaped fish, like an angel fish with a big eye on it. Big, huge it is. And I put it up in the sky. And some kites are easier to get up in the air, but you have to pick the place, because obviously the trees, I've just tried it out there, and it's been really difficult to get one up around here because there's so many trees. And once you get clear into clear air, away it will go. The only problem is if the wind drops, you've got to pay attention to how much line you've got out, because obviously it gets tangled in a tree. So anyway, I used to put these kites up, and I'd have stake them at the side of the field on a spike, and move away a bit and get another one up. And then I'd go and take a photograph of it. So one day I managed to get four kites in the air at once. And I walked up the lane. When I turned around, there was only three kites in the air. And of course, it's in the middle of a field somewhere, and you've got to deal with that. And while you're dealing with that one, the other one comes down, or else it tangles around another. So I ended up with this three kites tangled round each other, and one kite spinning round and round and round and round and round and round. So it was a complete nightmare, and it took me about 4.5 hours to untangle it all. So yes, it has its problems. But this fish kite, I call it Freddy the fish kite. And sometimes I've been out flying in fog or low cloud, and I had the kite up, and it's very strange because it disappears into the cloud, and you think, well, there's something on the end of it, but can't see. And all of a sudden I heard this wah, 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 wah. And it was obviously a duck flying along in the cloud, suddenly was confronted with the mystery of a kite. So it was obviously somewhat surprised. But on another occasion, it was the evening, and I was sat in the car outside of the road and flew the kite, and two ducks came along. They were like on a mission, you know, like this. And I watched them going, wah, 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 wah. And all of a sudden they broke off and they came swinging around, and they went right round the kite, quacking furiously, and went off and carried on. I'm thinking, well, that's odd. And the next thing, they turned round and they came back again. And the kite sort of drifted off to one side, and they went down range and came back round again. Quack, 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 off. And I was just thinking, what was going through their heads? They must obviously, every night they went this route, and then suddenly there's this strange fish in the sky. And you think, but then what? They went down range, and then the other one said, "Here, Wilma, was that right, really what we saw? Let's go back and have a look." So it can be amusing. And sometimes I'm out flying at the side of the road, and I'll get visitors, like hares come and visit me. So I'll be standing there quite stock still. And one day I had a deck chair, and I'm having a sandwich with a bag of watercress, and I was sat down with this kite staked out, and a hare came through the field, walked across the track, and I thought, he must have seen me, gone in the wheat field. The next thing, he's bowling up towards me. I'm thinking, I don't believe this, Lord, this hare's coming up, I'm going to feed it watercress, you know. And it walked straight past, as close as this. I suddenly was aware that I was sat there, leapt about 4 feet in the air and shot across, disappeared into the field. And half an hour later, it turned up with a friend to have a look. But obviously, as soon as they realise you're there, they're off. But it happens to me so often that I wanted a logo for my pennant. So I'm called Wind in the Hair, which is a hare holding a kite. So that's the thing. I'd love to make a kite that looked like a hare, because I don't know, if you go on YouTube or something, you can see kite festivals, and they're an amazing assortment of kites. You can have trousers flying in the sky, or elephants, or, you know, all these things. But it's just great fun. And I get known that the farmer said to me, I said to him, do you mind me flying your kite? He said, no, but I prefer if you come in the winter and keep the pigeons off, you know, off my rapeseed. So I do try and go in the winter, but it's, you know, a bit of a pain in the neck staring at the sky with a high wind blowing across you. But I had one kite somebody brought me from Thailand, and it's a delta kite with a tail on it. I called it Doris, and I had it on 100 metres of line, and I've had it a long time, and I went to Sizewell, and I flew it off the beach there, and I anchored it to my rucksack full of stones, and while I was trying to get another kite in the air, Doris came unwound and went down the beach. So it's like, oh goodness. So I'm running down the beach after the reel, and I'm like 5 feet away from the reel, down the stony beach, and it goes into the sea, starts going into the sea. So I said, look, come on, you've got to help me here. So a great wave came and it caught the end of the reel, and I'm thinking, yes, it's going to be end at my feet. But unfortunately it didn't, and it carried on going, paying out the reel as it went. And I see that they've got these sort of stanchions in the water for the nuclear power station. I'm thinking, please let it catch on that. But it went straight over that, kept on going. And I thought, well, you know, what am I going to do? But in the distance, I could see the Southwold Lighthouse. And I knew that it wasn't going to go beyond the Southwold Lighthouse. It had to make landfall because the coast curves around by Mimsmere and Dunwich. But this is like 6 miles away. So I thought, well, there's not much point jumping in the car and tearing up there. You know, it's miles of coastline. I didn't stand a chance. So anyway, I thought, well, I'll look on Google Earth and see what it track was. So I thought, well, it's probably somewhere like Warbleswick or whatever it's called. And so anyway, I thought this is going to really depress me for the whole holiday. But it didn't. I said, I'm just going to give it to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, just don't let this spoil the situation. But I just took comfort in the fact of thinking about what the consequences were of this kite, where it ended up. Like, for example, entangled in a fishing trawler, or maybe getting... There was a wind turbine I could see in the distance, and I was thinking, you know, because it had my phone number, I wrote my phone number on it. So I was expecting the police to turn up at Sizewell Hall and say, is this yours, madam? You know, so, yes. And then one day I was out, and I see a guy, and he was running along the beach, running like this. And I thought, well, he's run along the footpath, you know, and he's athletic. So I said, excuse me, you haven't seen a kite, have you? And he looked, what do you mean? I said, well, yeah, explain the story. And he said, no, well, I've come from Mimsmere, but I haven't seen a kite. But if I do, I'll tell them and let you know. But anyway, so it's gone. Somebody's going to have the fun of it. But, yeah, it's great. So, yes. So I just advise that anyone who wants to go and fly a kite, give it a go. But bear in mind what happens if you let go of it or it comes down and you've got to get it back. Because obviously if it gets entangled in a hedge or you fall in the ditch because you're not paying attention when you're flying it, which I've done that, unfortunately. But yes, it's great fun. So that's just a single line kite for you. So anyway, hope you enjoy that.
Thanks very much, Kim. Well, that's all for today.